This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Lake Lure is high on Hollywood's call list. It's a little town that's been the site for blockbuster movies, including Dirty Dancing.
Lucky Frank. Lucky. Look, spaghetti arms. This is my dance space. This is your dance space. I don't go into yours, you don't go into mine. You gotta hold the frame. Again? Frank.
Directors love Lake Lure for its idyllic resort setting, but now it faces a critical threat. The dam that makes Lake Lure is urgently in need of repairs. And it turns out that warnings by state regulators have gone unanswered for years. The revelations are detailed in an investigative report by the Carolina Public Press. Frank Taylor is managing editor of CPP, and he joins me now. Hello, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
For those who don't know it, tell us about Lake Lure. Where is it? What does it look like?
Sure. So Lake Lure is in western North Carolina. It's just east of the Eastern Continental Divide. So it is on the eastern slopes of the Blue Ridge Mountains. It is on a river, the Rocky Broad, that flows out of the mountains. It is dammed at this point with scenic hills all around, and that dam created a lake. The town was built around the lake. Eventually, the town purchased the dam. But it's a beautiful place. It's in Rutherford County, about it's between Charlotte and Asheville. People want to get an idea on the map. And so it's
And it's a resort set. I mean, the people who do know it as a resort setting, and of course Hollywood loves it because it's when you need idyllic resort, Lake Lure is top of the list. Dam built in what, 1925?
I think that's right.
All right, so we've got a dam that goes back that far. Town surrounding the area, as we say, a fine place, but it turns out that it's in need of repairs, serious and urgent need of repairs. Right? Tell us what the story is.
Yeah, that's right. So The state's Department of Environmental Quality, and it had several names previously, but its predecessor agencies, were sending letters to town officials, at least over the last decade that we've looked at, saying, hey, your dam is something we need some reports on. We're missing information on your dam. Please respond. And from what I found out from the Department of Environmental Quality, as well as from town officials I've talked to, it doesn't look like most of those letters received the responses. And you would see letter after letter saying, yeah, we still need this document. And we're talking for a long period of time. And so finally, the town did respond more recently and brought in an engineer who specializes in dam quality, a guy named Dan Marks. And his study was pretty scathing. I mean, he found some serious problems that need to be addressed. But he really, in his report, laid it out to the town as like this was the result of a lot of complacency. And he said, beyond adequate operation and maintenance of the hydroelectric power generation facility, so that's part of the dam. So beyond that, there is little evidence that any routine operations, maintenance, inspections have ever been done.
Wow. So how serious is the problem? I mean, we're going to go back to oversight and how these warnings and requests for information went ignored for so long. But at the moment, how serious are these problems?
Well, this is a high-risk dam, according to the state. Now, the caveat is that refers to what would happen if it failed, not the fact that it's going to fail. But in talking with the mayor, who just took office at the beginning of this year, so he's working to get this fixed. He wasn't there when some of these problems were kind of ignored. A guy named Kevin Cooley, he happens to be a retired civil engineer, a great person to have in place when you're dealing with this kind of a problem. And Kevin is convinced, in consulting with the dam specialist, Dan Marks, that if they can make the right repairs in a period of just a few years, it'll take some time to do each phase of the repairs, they can extend this dam's life by 50 years. But if they don't make the repairs, you know, you could be looking at a very short-term problem with the dam. We're seeing cracking. We're seeing seepage. We're seeing a number of fairly serious problems that can only get worse over time.
Tell us more about this designation, high risk. You can be in perfect repair, but a high-risk dam, right?
That's correct. And the high risk says it's going to be very bad for anybody on the other side of the dam if it collapses. The dam poses a risk to infrastructure, highways in the area, and it poses a severe risk to property and life of people and animals that are on the other side if it were to collapse. I mean, it's a big lake. It's holding back.
And all
of that will drain out.
All that would drain out. Lots of people and property downstream. So
people upstream, you know, the whole town is a valuable town. It's a relatively wealthy town, and they lose what makes them so valuable if that happens.
Right.
It would take a long time to repair a collapse.
So what are town officials now saying about how this neglect or the failure to answer DEQ and its predecessors for so long? What was happening? Anybody know?
Well, they don't know, and that's exactly what the mayor said to me. I mean, we have different people in place now. We had a new town manager come in 2016. The new mayor came in this year. They said they don't know, you know, what happened or why there was not a better response before. So they really have, you know, just said, we're not sure, but they've emphasized responding now, trying to get it right now.
You've got the potential here of some potential negligence on the part of city officials.
Sure.
Before this, not answering DEQ's request. We need more information. Tell us about this dam. Maybe you can tell us what kind of information. But I also wonder about DEQ. I mean, if I'm not getting a report on a dam, don't I do more than send you another warning? Don't I show up and say, hey, where's that report? These people's lives are at stake.
Yeah, you know, I think it does beg that question. And I didn't put that question to the EQ yet, but it is something that we ought to consider. Our state regulatory agencies like this doing their job correctly. If it's just a matter of sending letters, do they have the ability to really hold a town's feet to the fire or a county's feet to the fire? In this case, they're normally dealing with the owner of a dam, and in this case, it happens to be a town. So this might be a farmer, it might be a power company, lots of different entities own dams. And I don't know that dealing with a town is a very common situation that they encounter. And so that may have been a factor in why things went a little differently than they should have here.
How did all of this come to light?
Well, we got a tip, and we appreciate people who give us tips, but we got a tip from a resident who was aware of some of the early responses to Dan Marks's report. And said, you know, people in the town are alarmed. And when I talked to Mayor Cooley, he definitely confirmed that. He said, you know, at this point, we really want to be transparent because there is a lot of alarm, and we understand why people would be alarmed. That's one of the reasons they're emphasizing what do we do to fix this, not that this is a desperate situation. He's confident that if they fix it in the next short term, and they're going to hopefully start construction in the fall, he thinks, that they will extend the life of the dam. But he wants to assure people, I do not think there's any chance of it collapsing while we're working on it.
Now let's talk about
it's not that urgent. So
let's talk about the work, what it would take, how much it might cost to do these repairs.
Well, they've got a plan that Dan worked up and is currently being reviewed by DEQ. They've actually asked DEQ to do an extra layer of thoroughness because they want to make sure everything is right, both from an engineering and a regulatory standpoint, before they go out and get bids on this. They want to have everything in order. I think that seems to make sense. And they are expecting it to run between $4.5 to $5 million to do this in four phases. I think they're going to bid each phase at a time. They might extend the contract on whoever does the first phase and move them into the second time, but they want to avoid some of the situations we've seen other local governments get into where you have a major project with a long-term contract and the contractor is not satisfactory, yet you're stuck in that relationship with the contractor for a long period. So I think they've tried to protect themselves because this is such an important item for them. As far as covering that bill, that is a lot of money, and it's money they might have spent perhaps that much over many years. If they had done this maintenance, they might have spent a little bit less. But coming up with it at one time is a big push. They have a way to do it that seems realistic. They get revenue from that hydroelectric station on the dam, which they sell to Duke Energy. So they don't use it directly for the town. It's sold to the power company. And they should be able, they believe, to leverage that consistent revenue from the hydroelectric in order to do bonds and pay for this project. One key question is the hydroelectric system going to have to go down during the repairs? Mm-hmm. They have talked with Dan Marks, the dam expert, and he's confident that they should be able to do this without taking the hydroelectric system offline at all.
Frank, to their credit, city officials, the current leadership in the city, took the initiative and started this going before it became public and before you did your work. But talk about the importance of revealing this and making these things public so that other officials understand that you can't hide this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it goes to this issue that I mentioned earlier of just how alarmed the public were. There had been no strong media coverage of this, and so the people had a sense that this was being done in a secretive way. Even if public officials were being reassuring, the fact that they weren't hearing about it directly from the news media was disturbing to them. And I think that, you know, we didn't know for sure what we were going to find as we got into this. But certainly there's a level of accountability that's there. And I think the news is better than we thought it might be. But even so, so whether we're giving reassurance to the public or broadcasting a louder warning to the public, whatever we were going to find, it's essential that, that media fulfill that duty within our system.
And you will be fulfilling that duty on a larger scale now. You've focused, the Carolina Public Press is focused mostly in Western North Carolina. You're going statewide, right?
That is correct. And we've done a number of stories since we made that change in late February. We've done a number of stories that are statewide, looking either at a particular location, several stories out of the Charlotte area, or some specific statewide issues, such as how county governments police the use of credit cards by public officials. So we're doing some of that. This Lake Lure story happens to be a Western North Carolina story, which was our traditional focus. We're based in Asheville, continue to be based in Asheville, but we are looking for additional opportunities to bring the same type of reporting approach that we've been doing to a broader area of the state.
Great stuff. Frank, keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Frank. I appreciate you having me on the air.
Frank Taylor, managing editor of the Carolina Public Press. Just ahead, Women in Science, an exhibit in Raleigh. Stay tuned.